John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. I hope you were paying attention to the readings today. It tells us a lot about the relationship between shepherd and sheep. But I want to begin in another way. To know who you are, to have a name, and by name I don't mean just a handle by which you are held on to or called, but an identity, a name. To know to whom you belong, to know where you are going, what your purpose is for being on this planet, and to know that that is a valuable purpose. To know that you are accepted, that you are loved and cherished, appreciated and wanted. These things are the very most basic human needs. And children who grow up in families that have a sense of these questions, these descriptions being answered in a good way for them, children who have parents who leave them to feel happy and secure, even though they may be poor, even though they may be ill-clothed, even though they may live in very humble homes, children who have an identity like that are content. They are happy. They understand their place in the world. But parents are temporary, are they not? Parents only bring us so far in life, and then we grow up, and then we're on our own. Then we have to make decisions. Then we can feel very, very insecure. So when people become adults or enter the adult world, lacking these things from God, they are very, very vulnerable to seek them elsewhere and to not find them in the right way. People that seek identity and name and place and belonging and love and cherishing from other things are subject to all kinds of troubles. They are trying to find out who they are, making a name for themselves, creating an identity for themselves. Whether it's by money or by position or by place in society, whatever it is, they're trying to find an identity in another way. They're trying to belong to some valued group, some club, or some social status, or some interest group or political cause to give them an identity. Trying to create for themselves in a very, very chaotic, vain world, meaning and purpose for their life. longing for approval. Deep down in their hearts, they want to be approved, and yet they don't know from whom they should seek that approval. If you belong to the world and not to Christ, you are following some ruthless hireling. A hireling in New Testament times was a day worker. A day worker who was hired to tend sheep. For some reason, the shepherd was not able to be out with his sheep. He hires a day worker. The day worker comes. He takes the sheep out into the field. And whatever happens, happens. If you belong to the world and not to Christ, you're following some sort of hireling. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are being led by a loving shepherd. That's what Jesus calls Himself in John chapter 10. And I'm sure He had Ezekiel 34 in mind, because He is the Lord God who comes to be the shepherd of His sheep. He described the hired hands, these day workers. In verse 12, He says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." He runs. He's afraid of the wolf. "And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a day worker, hired hand, and cares nothing for the sheep." He's not about to risk his life for sheep. He has no ownership in the sheep. Just a paycheck. Just a means to an end. He has no tender concern for the sheep. He will victimize the sheep if he gets the opportunity. He might kill one of them, cut them up, and keep the meat for himself, as described in Ezekiel 34. The hired hand, pictured here, is ultimately Satan. The devil. Ultimately, he is the tempter. He is the accuser. He is the destroyer. He is Lucifer, the angel of light. And his representatives and initiatives on earth are myriad. They're everywhere. And sad to say, they are in many churches. Many churches are led by hirelings, by antichrists. In John, 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John talks about the last times and the fact that antichrist is coming, and he says many antichrists have already come. What are antichrists? They're hirelings. An antichrist is a person in authority in the historic Christian church who opposes the teaching of the historic Christian church. Imagine that. He's in charge, or she's in charge, or whatever they are is in charge, but they oppose the historic teaching of the Christian church. That's an antichrist. That is a hireling. They make a living off the church. They use the office of ministry as a platform for the latest trends in social foolishness, pressing for the destruction of the family, which is the first institution that God ordained, pressing for the destruction of marriage and morality in general. And most of all, hirelings, antichrists, deny the gospel of Jesus Christ. They deny that He is God come in human flesh, who lived a sinless life and who died as an atoning sacrifice for sin and rose up from the dead on the third day and will come again to judge the world. They deny all those cardinal doctrines of the Bible and of the Christian faith. And antichrists are the modern parallel to the false shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34. And he says about them, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." May God fulfill this word in the case of the modern hirelings and antichrists who are feeding themselves on the historic Christian church and the sheep within it, and not teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we might hear what I just said and say, well, that doesn't bother us in this case. We're not in one of those churches. We're in a very conservative, historic Christian church. And we believe and teach all those cardinal doctrines of the gospel. So this doesn't really affect us directly. We think about it in terms of other denominations out there, but it doesn't affect us. But I want to propose to your thoughts that there are other kinds of hirelings, too, that do affect us. And let me just enumerate a few of them. One of them, I would say, is moralism. Moralism. Moralism is very conservative, very respectable. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, you would hear the story about Mr. Legality, who lived in a village called Morality. He's very respectable. Persons who substitute Christian faith, the faith of the gospel, for moralism are persons who live looking at themselves as relatively good compared with someone else. They are good citizens, they are good spouse, they are good parent, they are good child, they are good lodge member, they are a good neighbor. But if compared with God's standard of absolute perfection, moralists fall short. And in fact, moralism, because it is a substitute for dependence upon Jesus Christ and His atoning death, moralism is an insult to God. It's saying, I don't need your Jesus. I don't need His death on the cross. Here's my good works. Take that. And God is insulted. God, who saw the need to redeem sinners, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Moralists can be compared to swimmers who set out to swim from California to Hawaii and wave all the rescue craft away. They will never make it. And so week by week, as we gather to worship God, we have this habit of confessing that we fall short of the glory of God. We will never make ourselves acceptable by all human morality. We turn to Jesus Christ away from the hireling of morality, of moralism. There's another hireling out there, very popular hireling, called hedonism. Hedonism is pleasure seeking. It's just letting yourself go and running rampant to seek after pleasure. It's very liberal, and it's very widespread and very popular these days. Many people who have given up on the rigors of moralism have given themselves over to self-discovery, to pleasure seeking. Pleasure is the aim of their life. Sexual license, drugs, drunkenness, on and on and on. We could make the long list. And our promiscuous culture all around has largely given over to these things and promoted them on television and on the internet and in magazines and in popular music. And persons who try to find themselves through hedonism are being led by a hireling who will leave them diseased, often imprisoned, wrecked and ruined, psychologically devastated, and sometimes just plain dead. Hedonism is a hireling. Then there's one more I can think of. Materialism. Materialism. Now, of all the hirelings, materialism is the most respectable to our society. Few people will ever fault you for being a materialist. Many people will admire you as they drive by your home and see all the things you have. They will respect you. Materialists are too busy getting stuff to be hedonists. Hedonism might interfere with their work habits and might interfere with their procurement of more stuff. Those who pursue material things as a measure of worth, there's nothing wrong with being the owner of things or having possessions, but those who seek it as a measure of worth, as a measure of belonging, are following a hireling. And they're saying to themselves, I must belong because look at all the things that belong to me. Those who pursue material things as a measure of identity are in effect saying, I have much, I own much, I control much. That's who I am, a controller, an owner of much, my identity. And their motto is, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Now, of all these hirelings rise and fall in popularity, don't they? Back in the 60s and 70s, materialism was out. Hedonism was in. Now materialism is in and hedonism still in. The one who administers all these hirelings is Satan, the devil. He cannot provide your need for a name, for belonging, for purpose, for acceptance. He seeks for nothing but the destruction of your soul. He is the prince of this world, the world that is going down to defeat. Are you under the power of any of these hirelings? Now, on the other hand, I want you to consider Jesus. Jesus tells us about Himself. He is the good shepherd. He says in verse 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. See, that's that belonging thing. That's that identity thing. I know my own. You belong to someone and Jesus knows you. I know my own. He knows His own. That's personal and intimate. The word knows means very personal. It's the kind of knowledge that is expressed in Romans 8:29 when it says, for those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Foreknew, that is an intimate knowing by God. Now, I know President Bush. Never met him, but I know who he is. I know Steve Doe, a member of our session. I have met him, and I know him as a friend. That's more personal. I know my wife. That is very personal. The Good Shepherd knows each of His sheep. Each one, that's an infinite mind that can know each sheep. He knows you personally and individually and infinitely. He knows about every detail of your mind and of your life. He knows you full well. Not a hair can fall from your head without the will of your good shepherd in heaven. And get this. This is so wonderful. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your needs better than you know your needs. And then Jesus says, His own know Him. It's reciprocal. His own know Him, verse 14, and my own know me. The Good Shepherd reveals Himself to His sheep. He is not distant. He is not impersonal. He has a relationship with His own. Members of false or apostate religious groups are known only as workers, or givers, or pew sitters. Moralists are known only as proud people, better than most. Hedonists are known as party animals and pleasure connections. Materialists are known for their possessions and their net worth. All these will be abandoned in time. But those who were the sheep of Christ were known by Him before the world was founded. That's infinite personal knowledge. Known by Him before the world was founded. And so in time, drawn by His grace, they come to know Him as the Creator of everything and as their Savior, and they follow Him. Verse 4 says, when He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. There's a picture of a shepherd. Sheep come to know their shepherd very personally. They learn to hear His voice. Above all the other noises and all the other voices that may be, they hear His voice. And they trust His voice. And they follow Him. I worked on farms in the Midwest. And I had to move pigs sometimes from field where they were farrowing and foraging to a lot. And the way to herd pigs is by getting behind them and waving your arms and yelling and hitting them. That's the way to herd pigs. You don't go ahead of them and call them. Not unless you are pulling a feed wagon with you. Sheep are not like pigs. Sheep will respond to their shepherd's voice and they will follow him. But they won't follow a hired hand, a day worker. They don't know his voice. So they refuse to follow him, and he has to drive them. Hired hands, hirelings, all the ones I described and any others you may think of, they will drive you, they will beat you, they will abandon you in danger. Christ will call you back to himself, and you must follow him. And here is the fullness of His love. Here it is in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Lays down His life. A really good shepherd in Israel would fight to defend his sheep from thieves, a lion or a wolf, or even from their own wandering. He would never leave them in peril if He could help it. But Jesus is the very best shepherd of all. Jesus is the shepherd on a cross. Opposite of fleeing, when Jesus saw the danger we were in, He set His face as a flint toward Jerusalem and the cross. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and anguishing over the thought of the sacrifice He must make, He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was no careless hireling, but the good shepherd who lays down His life, the shepherd on a cross. He saw you in peril, and He came to defend you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It meant death for Him. He suffered all the ravages of hell to rescue you. He gave His life for the sheep. When the last moments came on the cross, He said, tetelestai. It's a Greek word. It's the pluperfect of finished. And it's roughly translated, paid in full. He paid for you. He bought you. You belong to Him. You have a name because He bought you. He died to possess you. He died to win you to His voice so that you hear His voice above all the other voices of the world. He died to lead you in life and through death to a new life. He alone knows you deeply and lovingly and better than you know yourself. He alone can call you to Himself, bring you by grace. He alone can meet your deepest need for longing and belonging and peace and forgiveness and acceptance. Now, as we close, listen to His voice. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of heaven. If you eat of Me, you shall live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the water of life. You will never thirst. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I lay down My life for the sheep. I am He who was dead and am alive forevermore. I am the Good Shepherd. Follow Me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our true Shepherd, amid all the sounds, all the din of noise, all the siren voices calling us to follow false shepherds, to follow hirelings, help us to hear Your good voice and so to follow You. Help us to lead others to Your voice as well, that they might follow You and find life forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.